I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. Today's broadcast will be a solo broadcast. I will be just talking to you. My son Grayson will be making the edit of this program, but he will not be joining me today. We do have some vacation time around the first of the year, and our vacation days did not totally coincide with one another. So today, I'll just be recording here in the studio at my home, and I pray there'll be something about this today that will give you hope for your life. Yes, that today's program will in fact be a half hour of hope for your life. Well, we have just come through the Christmas season, and we are now in the afterglow of Christmas 2017. I love Christmas. I just love it dearly. In many ways, I look forward to Christmas the whole year. My daughter's a lot like her daddy. She's 28 years old now, lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we always say that the day after Christmas is the saddest day in the world. Now, of course, it really is not, because Christ has been born, so really it should be among the happiest. But what we mean by that is we just love Christmas Day. To us, it is such a special, special day. Now, I know the Christmas season is difficult for many people. Some of you listening today, it may have been a season of great trial. Maybe relationships are strained. Perhaps you are having health crises. Maybe your finances have been a little less than what you would like them to be. And so I know that during the tender season of Christmas, such things can be magnified and can be made more difficult. So for you, I pray. And, you know, in some ways, I had some difficult emotions at Christmas time, especially since my dad passed in 2014. I've missed him, especially during the Christmas season. But also my grandparents, all four, who are now in heaven with my dad, I miss them at Christmas time, and many relatives that have gone on. So I understand that Christmas can magnify the hurt in our lives. But I still want to go on record saying our world would be such a sadder place were it not for Christmas Day. And the fact that every year we get to come back to a celebration that hope has been born in Bethlehem and hope has a name. The name is Jesus Christ. And so today we're in the afterglow of Christmas. And while I was thinking about, you know, family that I miss, I have different ways that I communicate with our local church and others who know me personally. Social media. I have a blog spot, if you want to call it that, a blog, a place where I kind of write like a newsletter occasionally. But I do go every day to my blog and try to write something encouraging. Probably throughout 365 days a year, I probably wouldn't miss more than a dozen or 15 days that I don't go on and try to write something to encourage those who are looking for good news. Let me give you the address to that blog if you'd like to check it out some in this new year. It is Romans 10:15. Now you spell it all out in letters, R-O-M-A-N-S-T-E-N, F-I-F-T-E-E-N .blogspot.com. That's B-L-O-G-S-P-O-T.com. Romans10:15.blogspot.com. And so today on my blog and also on my Instagram, which is just another way to communicate, I put something on about a relative of mine. And so I want to prove true to what I'm saying that during the reflection after Christmas and the afterglow, I think a lot about people that I have said goodbye to, but one day I'll say hello again to. So I have the hope of that because of Christmas and because of Easter and because Jesus didn't only come the first time, he's coming again. Today I was writing, and let me read to you what I wrote. First of all, I posted a beautiful old black and white photograph of my grandmother's sister. This will be my granny Margie's sister. Her name was Dicey. She was a few years younger than my granny, and she always had such a way about her, always had a twinkle in her eye. And I wrote these words today as I was reflecting in the afterglow of Christmas. In the afterglow of Christmas 2017, I have been reflecting quite a bit. In my reflection time, I remember my Granny Marjorie's sister, my Aunt Dicey O'Neill Wells, from Ocracoke Island, North Carolina. Many Christmases when I was a young boy, Aunt Dicey and her family would take the winter ferry boat from their island to ours, Harker's Island, North Carolina, and spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with us. When I think back across my childhood Christmases, it was my sweet Aunt Dicey who gave me an infusion of the Christmas spirit more than any of my other relatives. Granny ran a close second. Both sisters loved Christmas and everything about it, and thereby added wonder-filled anticipation to this sacred season of awesome celebration. To this day, Aunt Dicey's great-nephew, that would be me, remains grateful for her having touched my lifetime so tenderly. I plan to visit her grave next week, Lord willing. Maranatha. Amen, come Lord Jesus. Who are you thankful for in the afterglow of this Christmas season? And so, I want you to know that the afterglow gives us time to have reflection. I think a time to add the attitude of gratitude to our lives in a new way. And so I pray that's what this post-Christmas season is for you. A time where you can give thanks. You can remember people who have invested in your life. For me, my Aunt Dicey. I mean, I can't explain all that she added to Christmas. She just had this glow about her. And she had this way of saying things to me that caused me to know Christmas really meant something wonderful. I remember she taught me a few words. One of the words my Aunt Dicey taught me was the word delicious. I had never heard the word until she said it. And I remember asking her, "What do you mean by delicious?" And she took me by the hand into my granny's kitchen where there was a red jelly cake under a glass top. And she pointed at it and she said, "There you go. That is what I mean by delicious. And after we open gifts, you can have a slice of that and you will know exactly what delicious is." So that was my Aunt Dicey. I wish you could have met her. I hope in heaven I'm in the same neighborhood with her, and I hope I get to introduce you to her someday. Her son and grandson still live at Ocracoke Island, and I go there a few times a year to just relax. It's one of my favorite places on the planet to have vacation, but I go really because I have deep island roots there, and I get to visit the graves of my ancestors, and I give thanks that I got to know them in my lifetime and that I'll get to spend eternity with them again. Well, that's a little bit that's been on my heart today. I'm going to give you a little bit of a variety today since we're in the afterglow of Christmas and we're at this new year. We're a few days into the new year. Actually, today, as this broadcast is coming to you, it's the first Sunday of 2018. Now, yesterday, which was Saturday, January 6th, was an important day on the Christian calendar. On the Christian calendar for July 6th, we celebrate what we call Epiphany. Epiphany. Epiphany Sunday would be today, but Epiphany, the day, actually fell on Saturday. Now, Epiphany, I'd like to explain it to you a little bit. Don't want to take for granted that you know what Epiphany is. I know that many people kind of follow along with this idea of Epiphany, but not everyone does, so let me kind of explain it a little bit to you. Epiphany, also known as Three Kings Day, is a Christian feast day that celebrates the revelation of God incarnate as Jesus Christ. That means that God became flesh and dwelt among us. We read that in the Gospel of John, and that's what Christmas is all about, the incarnation of the Creator God. He became His creation through His Son, Jesus Christ, coming as a baby in Bethlehem. And so, during this day of Epiphany, this season of Epiphany, Three Kings Day, we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus. Now, in Western Christianity, the feast commemorates the visit of the Magi, the wise men, we might call them, to see the Christ child in Bethlehem. In other words, Jesus made a physical manifestation, not only as the Jewish Messiah, appearing to the shepherds, of course, but also he appeared to the Gentiles. Actually, they sort of appeared to him, but the idea was there was a manifestation, a revelation of God incarnate to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. And that lets us know because the three kings came from the east, the Magi came, the wise men came, that Jesus was born not only to be Messiah of the Jewish people, but also Savior of all people, Savior of the world. And so that's what we celebrate at Epiphany. I have a little Epiphany Nativity, I call it. And in this Epiphany Nativity, I'm sure you've seen them before. They come in all sizes. I have a little glass one that I paid $2.97 for at Kirkland's store in a closeout sale after Christmas, maybe about 5 to 8 years ago. And it's one of my favorite nativities to this day. And so after the Christmas season, I often go looking for my Epiphany Nativity, and I put it out. And I think about these three wise men, these three kings, the Magi, who came to Jesus to say to me as a non-Jewish person that I have a Jewish Savior. His name is Jesus. He came as a Jewish baby to save the whole world. And when I look at the Magi, the three wise men, they're holding their gifts there before King Jesus as the baby in the manger. Now, they probably would have come maybe as much as a couple of years after Jesus was born. We don't know all of that, but we know they came because the Gospel of Matthew records it. And so they came and they were bearing gifts, three gifts, in fact, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Now, the frankincense is a spice, and what it reminds us of is that Jesus is the great high priest. So there's frankincense that is like an incense, I guess you would say, with a smell of spice is probably the better word. And this frankincense is something that would have been burned in the temple or would have been part of temple worship. And so we know that Jesus was the high priest, the great high priest. And the wise men, or the Magi, the three kings, in the three gifts, they symbolically say Jesus is born as high priest. Now, what is the function of the high priest? The great high priest takes the hand of God and then the hand of lost people and brings them together. And Jesus surely did that. He is our great high priest. He is the one that comes between us, a lost and sinful people, and a holy and wonderful Father God. And he brings that relationship back together. So we celebrate this during this season of Epiphany. Now, there was another gift, myrrh. Now, myrrh is a spice, and it is brought at the grave of Jesus. We read about the spices that the ladies came when Jesus died, and they put spices on him in the tomb, and preservation of sorts. And so, when we see this spice, myrrh, come into the Christmas story, we realize that Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Bethlehem, but he came to die for the subjects of the kingdom of God so that we could be put back in right relationship with our Father God. And so Jesus is the one who came in Bethlehem to die outside Jerusalem. And so that's what the myrrh is symbolic of. It's symbolic that yes, there is a birth, but there will be a death. But let's bear in mind, there was also a great resurrection. And so we have the three kings. They bring frankincense. He's the great high priest. He takes the hand of God, the hand of people, brings us together again. Then there is the myrrh. He is the suffering Savior. He is the one who has come, born in Bethlehem, but will die on the cross outside of Jerusalem, will die on Calvary. And then we have the king who brings the gold. The three kings, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Finally, we have the gold. And gold is symbolic of royalty. And so while the frankincense says that Jesus is the great high priest, and while the myrrh says he is the one born to die as our Savior, then the gold means he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love Epiphany. And if you've never heard it explained, I don't think you'll soon forget it. Maybe you even want to go out while people are having these closeout sales here at the first of the year and see if you can find you a little Epiphany Nativity. They may not call it that, but you will know this distinction when you see it. It'll be Joseph, Mary, the baby Jesus, and the three wise men, the Magi, the three kings from the east. The shepherds are not a part of the Epiphany Nativity. Now, they are part of the whole Nativity. And I have a Nativity set that I bought in Bethlehem. It's carved out of olive wood. And it has all the characters of the Christmas story. And I like displaying them all together, regardless of when they showed up. The beautiful thing is they came. You know, the shepherds came to show that Jesus came to die for the lowly. And then the three kings of Orient came, the wise men, to show that Jesus died died for the upper echelon of people as well. And we know that means he died for everyone in between. And I love my Olivewood Nativity. It's one of the first things I put up every Christmas. And it is in a little cave. It's a nativity that has an Olivewood cave. You know, in the back of the homes and the dwellings in Bethlehem, there were caves. They actually built their homes into the caves, into the Judean hillsides. And in the back would be a place like a stable, a place where the animals could be brought in from cold weather. And so when I went to Bethlehem, the Bethlehem native who owned the Olivewood shop, he said, "Now, wouldn't you rather have an Olivewood cave? Because that's more original to where Jesus was born." And so I had this Olivewood cave, and then all the people, all the creatures even, the cow, the horse, the lambs, the angels, and then, of course, the people, the shepherds and the wise men, they were all carved of olive wood, and I had them sitting out on my coffee table. It's just a beautiful set. And it reminds me that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, to be my Savior. But I do love my little Epiphany Nativity. It's a little glass piece, as I said, and I got that real deal on it, $2.97. But when I put it up, I'm reminded that I have a great high priest, someone that takes the hand of my Creator, Father God, and takes my hand and brings me back in communion with Him. When I look at my Epiphany Nativity, I see that second wise man with the myrrh, and I know that Jesus came to die in my place. He who knew no sin became sin so I could become in right relationship with God again. And then I see the wise man holding the gold, and I'm reminded that I have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Yes, I have someone who knows how to lead my life perfectly. You know, and we don't use the word king a lot these days or Lord, but all that means is leader. And so when we say Jesus is my King, we say that Jesus is my leader. He is the one who leads my life. It means we're not in control of our own life. He is in control because we have given the reins of leadership for our lives over to Him. I love what Oswald Chambers says in his writings, "In My Utmost for His Highest." Chambers says this, "We must give up our right to ourselves to God." And that's what it means when we call Him King. We have given up our right to rule our own lives. We have given up our right to ourselves to Him. You know, I've heard it also said by Oswald Chambers that the best definition of a saint is someone who belongs exclusively to God. So any of us can be saints with that definition. A saint is someone who has given up the right to their lives to God. We don't own ourselves anymore, but we have given ownership of our lives over to the one who created us. And because of Bethlehem, because Jesus came to represent Father God, because Jesus came to redeem us, to buy us back from sin, death, and hell, now we can belong again to God. We can belong exclusively for God. What a price Jesus paid with His own precious blood that we could once again belong to the one who created us. This is the hope as we move into the new year. Now, I don't know if you know Christ personally. I'm not talking about being religious. You know, don't ever confuse religion with relationship. What I have come to know in my own life, because I was raised in a very religious atmosphere, society. What I have come to know is that you can be lost two ways. You can be lost in rebellion, and you can be lost in religion. In other words, you can be lost in sin and lost in the religion of men. Either way, you're lost. But there's a relationship that we can know Jesus, and now we can be known by Jesus. And God looks at us and He sees His Son's blood applied to our sins and our wrongs. And because of that, we now have hope. And we have something so much more wonderful than religion or rebellion. We have right relationship with Jesus Christ. During the Christmas season, actually it was during the Christmas Eve services, I shared my favorite New Testament scripture for Christmas. It doesn't seem at first like a Christmas scripture, perhaps, but I think after I read it to you and explain it a little, it'll become one of your favorites as well. It's 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. And I love the writing from the Living Bible. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, penned by the Apostle Paul. These words, "For God took the sinless Christ and poured into Him our sins. Then in exchange, he who, the sinless Christ, poured God's goodness into us. Now friends, that is a gift exchange. And Christmas is about a gift exchange. And this is the main gift exchange that Christmas accents. Let me read it again. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, yeah, the great exchange, he who, the sinless Christ, poured God's goodness into us. I just love that passage. And I believe my favorite Old Testament Christmas scripture would have to be Isaiah 9 and verse 6, especially the first line or two. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, two things about that verse. This baby was born to us. This is our baby. Jesus is our baby because we're the ones who needed a Savior. We were the ones who were in deep trouble. And we needed a baby to be born who could redeem us from our sin, from our lostness, from death and hell. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I had not noticed until this Christmas season. Now, I've lived about 56 Christmas seasons, and I've preached about 24 of them. And I have read this scripture so many times, but I had never seen until this year the first word and the last word of that first part I just read to you of Isaiah 9. 6. For unto you a child is born, and unto you a son is given. Forgiven. I love it. I love it. The first word is for, and the last word is given. And that's why the baby came to the planet to be born of the Virgin Mary, was so that we could be forgiven. And that is the gift that God gave us at Christmas time. And even though we're past the official Christmas season, and we're even one day past Epiphany, I think it's okay. And we should celebrate Christmas day by day. Because if Christ had not been born, we would not be forgiven. And if you've not been forgiven yet, then I just invite you to embrace the Bethlehem boy, because he will bring you beautiful joy. And he will come to you, and he will offer you forgiveness. For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. Forgiven. Would you like to be forgiven? Well, you can just bow your head today and just say, Jesus, just call on him. Just call on his name. Just say, Jesus, here I am. I'm lost away from you. I don't know if I'm lost mainly in rebellion or lost in religion, but I want to know you. I want to be found in you. And so, Lord, I want to do an about face on sin. I want to turn from wrongdoing, and I want to turn to your face, turn from the dark and turn to your light. I ask that you would forgive me, and I want to place my belief in you. I believe that you were born to be my Savior baby, to save me from my sin, beginning today until forever. And I confess with my mouth that I need Christmas. And maybe I didn't celebrate it like I should have in 2017. But today, Lord, this day after Epiphany, I want to say I celebrate your birth. And I celebrate today your birth in me. You were born in an old dirty manger. And that must mean you can be born in an old dirty vessel like me. So, Lord, come and be my great high priest. Take my hand and take the hand of Father God and bring me together in right relationship. I want you to be my Savior, the one who died for me but resurrected to give me life everlasting. And I want you to be my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer in your heart, or you just agreed with me as we were going through it, you have placed your faith in Jesus, you are forgiven, and you are in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that means, my friend, if you will continue to have your back turned to sin, wrongdoing, and turn your face to him, you will walk in the light as he is in the light, and you will have fellowship with him. There's a familiar song we play here on Front Porch Talks, and I think we cannot play it enough. And I want us to begin this new year by ending this broadcast with my friend Nikki Clark singing Amazing Grace. At the conclusion of this program, my deep prayer is this, that Front Porch Talks has been for you a half hour of hope. Yes, a half hour of hope for your life. I pray that you'll continue to listen to Front Porch Talks through the new year. My son Grayson will be back, and you'll hear us, as we always do, bringing good news, bringing the story of Jesus, bringing the story of Jesus in other people's lives, talking about the scriptures, bringing prayer, and bringing good news music. And I pray it will be hope for your life. If you can't catch the program each week at noon here on WBTX, you can go to our website, frontporchtalks.com. frontporchtalks.com. Remember this, you are loved. Jesus is alive. Maranatha. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.